Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. What a song. He didn't know, but that's one of my favorite songs. I'll hear that on the radio, and people will drive by me, and they'll think there's something wrong with me because I'll be having a little crying, shouting fit in the truck as I'm driving along the road. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke 18, verses 10 through 13. When we first started this project out here, I was asking Jordan, you know, because you hear a lot of churches, you know, a new pastor comes and he wants to put his stamp on that church, or he wants to change this and he wants to change that. And Jordan was talking about how much the church was growing. And I said, what are you doing? He said, embracing who we are. And I said, well, isn't that a novel approach? Embrace who we are. I think a lot of churches are trying to be something they're not. Not every church can be a Cedar Creek. There's traditional churches just like this one, just like the one I'm getting ready to go to, that they, if they try to be something else, they're pretending. And as I began thinking about this message and praying about this message, the idea of pretending, performing, and proclaiming came to my mind. Because we got a lot of Christians that are pretending. And we got a lot of Christians that it's a performance for them. But we don't have a lot of proclaimers. We want to be proclaimers. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Heavenly Father, I come to you, God, and God, I cannot do this. I am not worthy. I'm not smart enough. I don't know my Bible well enough. I am flawed at best, God. I can't do this, but you can, Father. So I call on you in the name of Jesus to give me your passion, to give me your power, to give me all your grace, God, all that you have, God. Pump that through me that I would be less and that you would be more, and this message would be about you in every possible way, Father. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That song, Oh, What a Savior. I think sometimes we forget what a Savior we serve, what a God we serve, what a mighty God He is. And I think sometimes people get into mode of pretending, just like this Pharisee. You know, he thanked God for all the wrong reasons, didn't he? He thanked God, so he said, I'm not like others. I'm better than other people. I'm just glad I'm not like this guy. I'm kind of your super Christian, God. Aren't you lucky to have me? Isn't that the attitude that some people have? That God is lucky to have them? That God is lucky to have? I've seen preachers that when they preach, it's almost like they were saying, God, aren't you glad you called me to preach because I can convey your message better than anyone else? Pretenders. Pretenders think that God is lucky to have them. They brag about how much they do. They want other people to know it. It makes them feel important. He says, I fast twice a week, Lord. I give all tithes of all that I have. I bet that guy doesn't. Wants other people to know. Wants to feel important. Pretending to be a Christian. The pretender's prayer is not internal. It's external for all to hear. He speaks with pride in his heart and justification of himself, and he looks down on his neighbor. And he doesn't realize the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, that tells me on my own merit, on my own strength, on my own intelligence, on my own work, the only thing I can earn on my own is death and hell. Amen. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the only thing I can earn as Rick West is death in hell. Because when I was born as a man on this earth, when I was born as a child on this earth, and I brought in this child, my father was not God. I was a creature of God, a creation of God, but not a child of God yet. And I didn't become a child of God until I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, until He breathed life back into my soul. Up until that time, my daddy was Satan. Not God. So if you're not a child of God, you're serving one another. Amen. Pretenders, if you don't watch it, they're pretending to be Christians. There's nothing real there. There's no relationship there. They've gone to church, have a form of godliness. Bible says he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. So the pretenders have a very big danger. And that danger is they played church so long. They pretended so long that the lines are skewed and they're blurred and they don't understand. They don't realize where they're at. And they've never had a sit down with Jesus where they were introduced to him. They know who he is. They know about him, but they've never met him. Pretender has never met Jesus Christ as Savior. A pretender doesn't know him. What was it talking about this morning about in this children's church when she said you got to get to know him, you got to develop a relationship with him, you have to spend time with him. When I met my wife, I wanted to know her. I wanted to get to know her. I wanted to be around her. And all I thought about was her, was being around her. When I first got saved, when I first met Jesus Christ, that's all I thought about was being around Jesus. All I thought about was doing things for the Lord. All I thought about was my Bible. See, I wasn't a pretender. See, the pretender, he thinks about it when he's around you, the Christian. He thinks about it when he's here at church. He thinks about it when he runs into you in the store. But when he's alone, when no one's around him, his buttons are floating in that Dr. Pepper, aren't they? Because he's pretending. He's hiding his sin. He's hiding his true self from the world, but Jesus knows. Fall of sin. See, this man's just as guilty as just as big a sin as a tax collector. The Bible says not everyone says, Lord, Lord, will enter in. Well, performers tend to forget who they are. Performers live a life of duty. They get saved. Everything goes along pretty good for a while. And then they start reading all these rules, start reading all these regulations. You know, the Ten Commandments started out with Ten Commandments. And then it went to over 600 laws. And there's 365 don'ts. One for every day of the year that you can't do. See, the performer tries to live up to that. He tries to live up to the don'ts. He tries to live up to the do's. He tries to be who he's supposed to be. He's living this life of duty, and living that life of duty is so hard. And it'll wear you out, and it'll frustrate you, and it'll frustrate the people around you. And all of a sudden, you don't realize who you are, and you've been living this life of duty all this time, and you tried to do everything on your own strength. The Bible says in Mark's gospel, there arose a great storm. And the wind and the waves beat into the ship till it was now full. And he was in the rear of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we perish? And Jesus rose up and Jesus said, what is wrong? Where is your faith? You know, the problem with the performer is he tries to do everything on his own. See, these disciples, they were great fishermen. They knew about boats and they knew how to navigate the waters. And on their own strength, they took Jesus in the boat. Jesus is taking a nap on the pillow and they're going to navigate the waters. And this great storm comes up and the water begins to beat into the boat. Can you see the picture of that? And these men are trying everything they can to navigate this boat across the waters. And on their own strength, they can't do it. And finally, they take Jesus out of that little box. And they said, don't you care? And Jesus said, shh, be still. Peace, be still. They said, whew, looked at each other. Can you imagine, Richard, me and you had been in that boat. And I looked at Richard, what kind of guy is this? What manner of man is that even the winds and the sea obey him? See, performers try to do it on their own. Performers work hard. Performers try to carry their own cross. Performers forget about praying. They're thinking about working. Performers, all they can think about is trying to do it working. They don't realize. See, performers almost turn to religious people. Religious people believe that you have to work your way to heaven. Religious people think, if I work hard enough, if I do, cults will tell you, if I work really, really hard, when I get right over here, I'll be a little God and I'll be able to inherit heaven. If I work hard enough, I'll get to go to paradise. If I work hard enough, I get to go to that 144,000 up there. I don't know how they knock people off when somebody works harder. But anyway, if I do all that stuff, I can get there. See, that's what religion tells you. Christianity tells you, by grace, you are saved. By grace, you are saved. And because of that grace, because of salvation, I'll have works. And I won't have to perform to have it. I won't have to be a dancing bear at the circus to have it. They feared exceedingly. Back before Christmas, so I lay in bed one night and I was discouraged, Richard. I was discouraged about things at church. I felt like I wasn't making a difference. I felt like everything was hard. I felt like everything was just hard. I was frustrated. The people around me were frustrated, and I didn't know what to do. And I laid out in bed, and I was crying out to God. And I said, God, I can't do it. God, I'm not spiritual enough. God, I'm not smart enough. God, I can't work hard enough. God, nobody's following. God, I just can't do it. But you can, God. You got to do it for me. God, you got to do it for me. Well, preaching changed. Preaching the same message is preparing the same way, but the power was different. See, I could lay in bed at night and preach to the ceiling. Man, I could bring the rafters down. Man, I could preach that ceiling, man. Nobody there. I could just get down and be myself and preach and talk about Jesus. People get saved and people were affected. And then I go to church and it's not the same because I was performing. At youth camp, I'm sitting there. I didn't know what had happened because preaching changed around Christmas. People started saying, boy, that affected me. They wouldn't say good message anymore. They'd say, well, I needed that because I got this going on. That affected me. Man, that helped me. I needed that. And I started getting that from people. People started coming up and crying out and praying at the altar. All of a sudden, it didn't do it before. I was preaching the same message, but I was preaching under a different power because I quit performing. And at youth camp, I didn't understand it. And the pastor was up there preaching. All of a sudden, I went, oh, light bulb. I didn't even know I'd prayed for something that God had given me. I didn't know what I was praying about. I was just crying out to God, and God knew what I needed. See, He was asleep in the back of the boat in my life. He was on that pillow asleep, and I was trying to navigate the waters myself. I was trying to do all this work myself, and I could not do it. And finally, I said, God, I can't do it. I need you. And it was like Jesus said, peace be still. Calm that storm. Peace be still. And I thought, what a Savior. This is who I'm serving. This is the God I'm serving. Oh, what a Savior. See, performers don't walk in the Spirit. They forget about one of my favorite verses, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 5:2 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Performers don't walk in the Spirit. They forget about the Spirit. They forget about being crucified with Christ. They forget that Christ lives in me. They think they have to do something special. Christ lives in you. He's part of you. You're a child of the living God. Walk in the Spirit. And the only way you walk in the Spirit is to decide to. I go to bed every night saying, tomorrow morning I'm walking in the Spirit. Tomorrow morning, the sheetrock hangers ain't going to make me mad. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Tomorrow morning, the siding guys aren't going to make me mad. Tomorrow morning, if I stop at the grocery store and it's a 10-item or last line and somebody's got 20 items, it's not going to bother me. Because I'm walking. You ever counted the items when they do that? You say, he's got 16 items. That's 15 items or less line. See, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I don't think about that. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I say, bless God, praise Jesus. But I have to decide. I have to purpose myself to walk in the Spirit. And then I have to get into God's Word. I have to understand God's Word. I have to read God's Word. I have to spend time with God. Isn't that right, Carla? You got to spend time with Him. You got to build that relationship. You know, I know Him. I've been introduced to Him. I've been saved. But I want to rich and deepen that relationship with Him. When I quit performing and I start proclaiming, I'll start living that kind of relationship with Him. See, the performer doesn't know how to walk in the Spirit because he's never tried to walk in the Spirit, because he's never let the Spirit have control. We as Americans, we like control. We like to control stuff. We like stuff in our little box. We like things just, this is the way we did it last year. Bless God, we're going to do it this same way this year. We want to control it. We want it to be our way. See, the performer, he wants to keep everything under control so everything works out so-so. Performing is hard. You know what? The truth is just waiting in the back of the boat for us to wake Him up, isn't He? Just like for me. He's just waiting there for us to wake Him up. Performing will lead to a shallow Christian life because you spend so much time and so much energy and so much effort trying to perform, trying to meet expectations. See, I've got one expectation in this world. I've got one thing that I've got to do in this world, and that's bring glory to God. And I bring glory to God by being a proclaimer, by talking about what Jesus has done for me, by living that kind of life that I walk in the Spirit, and I talk in the Spirit, and I live in the Spirit, and I don't get mad because somebody doesn't put the shopping cart back in the little buggy thing. By the way, if you're a Christian, put the shopping carts back in there. If you've got any integrity, put the shopping carts back. Isn't that terrible? Sorry, that was a little sidebar. That took over. Performing will lead to a shallow Christian life, and performing will frustrate you and those around you. Because when you're performing, you'll never do it quite good enough. When you're performing, the person around you will never quite do it good enough. This past year at camp, because of things that happened, youth camp was really great. We had 44 kids go. We had 10 kids saved. We had 20 kids rededicate their lives to Jesus. And as I watched the camp, I enjoyed camp better this year than I ever had before because I kept my hands off of everything and I trusted the people that worked for me. I let them have the opportunity to fail if they were going to. And I got to enjoy camp because I quit performing. I worried people to death all around me because I was performing. This is how camp's going to be. You know, I'm the camp director. This is how I'm supposed to act. This is how it's supposed to be. We've got to stop performing. If we're going to quit performing, then we have to be a proclaimer. And to be a proclaimer, you have to know who you are. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You're no longer a creature of God, but a child of God. The old life is dead, and there's a new life ahead of you. In the Bible, I love where God's talking to Jacob, and he said, what is your name, Jacob? He said, Jacob. He said, no, you're no longer Jacob. You're Israel, Prince of God. No longer Jacob, the trickster, but you're Israel. You have to know who you are. You have to know who saved you. You have to know that God is all-powerful, that God is omnipresent, that God is all El Shaddai, all those things. He's a great, mighty God. You have to know those things to be a proclaimer. You have to know it and have confidence in. I want to be able to talk to people and say, yes, sir, I'm a Christian. I am a child of the living God. I met this guy right outside of Lowe's one day, and his name was Ogaga. And I said, Ogaga, that's got to mean something. I go back in, I said, what does your name mean? He said, my name means my God is mighty. I said, you're a Christian? He said, my God is mighty. And he's a Christian. And I talked to him, got to witness to him. And he began to talk about how that God had done things in his life. He's from South Africa and had this great accent. And when he said, my God is mighty, I said, man, I wish I could talk like that. And I just loved hearing him say it. But he meant it. He had a tear in his eye when he said it. Got all emotional when he said it. My God is mighty. You have to know who you are if you're going to be a proclaimer. You have to know who you are. Know that Christ lives in you, that He dwells in you, and the Spirit of the living God is walking about in you, and that your soul is alive. We get confused. We think we're a body with a soul attached to it. We're a soul with a body attached to it. Remember that. In the Garden of Eden, when they partook of the forbidden fruit and said if man died, his soul died. His soul became separated from God. And his soul became the son of Satan, son of Adam then, and no longer a son of God. And when God breathed life back into your soul, when you get saved, and breathed life back into your soul, and your nostrils flared, and you took that deep breath that your soul is alive again, that's who I serve now. That Jesus that breathed life back into my soul. A sinner saved by grace. You ever heard people say that? I'm just no sinner saved by grace. Makes me want to throw up to hear somebody say that. Hear Christians say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You are a saint sealed by the blood of Jesus. You're no longer a sinner. You're a saint. Your position is perfect. You're totally acceptable in the eyes of God because you're sealed by the blood. Now, do you live perfect all the time? No, you don't. I know some of you, and you know me. You know we don't. But when God looks at me, He sees perfection. When God looks at me, He sees Jesus Christ. When God looks at me, I'm totally acceptable. I have to realize that to be a proclaimer. I have to, because if I don't realize that, if I think every time I do wrong, if I think every time I sin that I'm losing my salvation, I go back to that pretending thing. I go back to that performing thing, and I know that I can't be good enough. I know that Jesus is good enough. I'm not good enough, but He's good enough, and He lives in me, and my life is sealed by the blood of Christ. Bought by blood, purchased by Him, the sacrifice on the cross. So my position is perfect. purchased with blood. Think about that sacrifice on the cross now. Jesus hung on that cross, drove spikes through his hands, spikes through his feet. His knees were crumpled, so he'd have to hang by those spikes. They were drove through here, all those nerve endings that send shock waves through his body. And he was crumpled over and he couldn't breathe, so he'd have to stand up on the spikes on his feet, get a breath of air, and then that would send shock waves through him again. He's beaten to the point of being unrecognizable. Crown of thorns pushed down his head, cutting it all the way to the scalp. And he bled out, spilled every ounce, every bit of pain, every bit of suffering. And he lay in the tomb 3 days. I like that three. Three's completion. I heard that in Sunday school class this morning. 3 days he lay in the tomb. And on the third day he rose. And now, my little brother and my sister, if you do sin, there's an advocate. There's an advocate in heaven. There's Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, and he's pleading my case. And somebody said, you know, Richard, you said, I can't wait to get to heaven. What I'm looking for, I'm looking forward to getting there to heaven. And Jesus standing on the clouds going, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want. I want to be a proclaimer of Jesus Christ. Christ is propitiation for our sins. He took our sin, put it on him. He was atonement, the perfect sacrifice for us. Now I'll tell you what proclaiming will do. Proclaiming will spread to other people. And the greatest, greatest example of that in the whole Bible is Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were walking into the temple. I didn't mean to. To neglect y'all. Peter and John were walking into the temple about the third hour, and Peter had just preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 men were saved, and they're walking in this temple, and here's this lame man laid outside the gate called Beautiful. Isn't it funny that the lame man would lay outside the gate, right outside the throne room of God, instead of going in where the goodness is, where people can preach for him, pray for him, do whatever for him, lay hands on him, but he's laid out here begging every day. This man's over 40 years old, crippled his entire life. And Peter and John said, look at us. Now, most of the church can't say, look at us. See, they just had a fresh encounter with Jesus. So they could say, look at us. They were proclaiming Jesus. And they said, look at us. And said he looked at him expecting to receive something. And Peter said, I don't have any money. I don't have any gold and silver. But what I do have, I'll give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk with his right hand. He lifted him up and his ankles and feet received strength. And he began to run and leap through the temple praising God. And the people in the temple said, isn't that the guy? Isn't that the lame guy? Isn't that the guy that lay outside the gate called Beautiful? Isn't that the man? And Peter saw the opportunity. See, proclaiming catches. Proclaiming, it's like, you know, it's infectious. Peter saw the opportunity to begin to preach. And he preached Jesus Christ. He preached heaven and hell. He preached the sacrifice of Jesus. And 5,000 men were saved. Not including men and women. Not including women and children. 5,000 men. Could have easily been 15 or 20,000 people. Saved right there. Because Peter decided to be a proclaimer. Because Peter decided to do something. Because Peter didn't care where he's at. Peter didn't care what people thought. Peter knew who his Savior was. He knew, oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. He knew who his Savior was. Praise God. I'm getting ready to close. I want you to think about this lame man, crippled from a fall. We're crippled from the fall of mankind, aren't we? Crippled from the fall. That lame man was crippled, laid outside the gate, called Beautiful every day. We were crippled. We were dead in trespasses and sin until Jesus quickened us, until the Holy Spirit quickened us, until Jesus saved us. We're dead in trespasses and sin, and we're crippled. And Jesus is just waiting for us to reach out to him, take us by the right hand, and pick us up from where we're at and give us total healing. And when that happens, leap, rejoice, proclaim Jesus Christ. Question is, are you a pretender or are you a performer? Do you have the courage to be a proclaimer? See, fear will stop you. Fear will make you not serve the Lord. Fear will make you sit in your seat. Fear will make you think that people will laugh at you. Fear will do all kinds of things for you. Fear is Satan's biggest tool for the Christian. Fear is Satan's biggest tool for a person getting saved because they're afraid of what people will say about them. Amen. You got to have courage. Courage is forgetting about the fear and listening to God and taking a step forward. Everybody stand, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to turn the invitation over to Richard right after I pray. But Father God, if there's anyone here today, and I don't know hearts and souls, but if you're here today and you never accepted Jesus as your Savior, make today the day. Come up here and give him your life. If you're a Christian and you're living a life of performance, you can't keep it up. You're going to quit coming to church. You're going to give up because you can't do it on your own. I promise you, you cannot do it. So if you're a pretender or you're a performer and you want to be a proclaimer, this is the best place to start right here. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this wonderful group of people. God, thank you for the opportunity to be here, Father. We love you. We praise you. God, use this invitation in your way. In your name we pray. Amen.